am glad that we can truthfully sing that song, that as the deer pants after the water, so my soul pants after thee, O God. And I've always really believed that people that attend services on Sunday night are people much like that deer. Their soul pants after the Word of God. You're here to learn, and you're here to know more about God. And hopefully the lesson that we share with you tonight will be perhaps more educational than motivational. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of the Holy Spirit. Probably nothing intrigues people any more than this one subject. What does the Bible teach about the Holy Spirit? And is there such a thing today? Or has the Spirit accomplished His work? Some people believe that with the completion of the writing of the Word of God, that the Spirit of our Lord ceased to exist in our world. Now, I don't really believe that to be true, and I'm going to share with you tonight why I really believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and why I believe that. And for many, many years, brethren just did not want to tackle that issue about whether or not the Spirit really lived within us. I do believe that the Spirit lives within us. I believe that God lives within us. I believe Christ lives within us. I believe that His Word lives within us. But there is so much mysticism about the subject of the Holy Spirit. Did you know when you read the Bible, there are a number of sins against the Holy Spirit? And you may have committed some without ever really thinking about it. Generally, all we think about when we think about sins against the Spirit, we think about blasphemy against the Spirit. That is, Jesus said that whosoever blasphemes against the Spirit of God shall never, ever go to heaven. He can never be saved in this world nor in the world to come, Jesus said. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment. But let me just share with you some of the sins against the Spirit before we get into this. Did you know the Bible says that we can resist the Holy Ghost? In the book of Acts 7 and verse 51, when Stephen, who was a deacon in the church in Jerusalem, was preaching and teaching the Word of God and reproving and rebuking those who refused to accept it, he says, "Why do you resist the Holy Ghost?" And we know that when he raised that issue, that they stoned him to death. You can read about it in Acts 7 and verse 51. Well, you can also lie unto the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts chapter 5, you read of Ananias and Sapphira, I won't take time tonight to recount that whole story, but if you go back and read that, you'll know that they had sold a piece of property and they came and they misrepresented what they had sold it for, and they lied, the Bible says, unto the Holy Spirit. Peter asked the question, you've lied unto God, you've lied unto the Spirit, Acts chapter 5. You've deceived the Spirit. Well, then you can quench the Holy Spirit of God also. And that just simply means to put out the Spirit out of your life, to quench it. Kind of like we quench a thirst, you have it no more. Well, you can shove the Holy Spirit out of your life to the point that you have the Spirit no more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. You can also grieve the Holy Spirit, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And that just seems to me to make sorrowful the Spirit by our actions and by what we do, and perhaps maybe sometimes even by our inaction. The young ruler walked away sorrowful, and his walking away from God, he walked away from the Holy Spirit. There are those who have done despite unto the grace of God, or the Spirit of grace, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. And the Greek etymology of that word just simply means to entreat shamefully or to insult the Spirit of God. And one can do that. And the Bible says again in Luke 12 and verse 10, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, not in this world, nor in the world to come. We know that God said previously, or even over in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, I believe that God gives us a measure of his spirit when we are baptized. But I also believe that God can take that spirit away from us. If that's not the case, then you would relegate yourselves to believe that once saved, always saved. I heard someone today talking about the rapture, about the fact that there's going to be a rapture. And he made the statement that the word rapture doesn't even occur in the Bible. But he was talking about the fact that there is a snatching away and that we ought to be rapture ready. Well, if there's not a rapture, why would you want to be rapture ready? Well, I didn't understand that. But anyway, the point I'm making is the fact that God's Spirit will not always strive with you. I believe that God can take His Spirit away from you when you resist the Spirit, when you lie to the Spirit, when you do despite under the Spirit of grace, or when you act shamefully against the Spirit of God, and when you perhaps maybe quench His Spirit or lie unto God. I think God takes His Spirit away. Well, what does the Bible really say, even beyond all that we've said here tonight, about the Holy Spirit? I want you to write down, and I hope you'll do this, because I think it really is important. I think the way for you to remember some of the things that we share together on Sunday is to write it down. And you know, you have a way of remembering sometimes things that you would not remember ordinarily until you write it down. Well, the word Holy Spirit, first of all, means guide. That's the English definition of that word. But in the original language, it basically means the same thing. It means one who is leading the blind, spiritually speaking. You and I do not have to grope in darkness, but we walk in light. We are children of light. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, as many as are the sons of God, they are being led by the Spirit of God. Have you ever thought about it every day when you live as a Christian that you're being led by the Spirit of God? I'm being led by the Spirit of God. I'm being led by the Spirit of God to get up here and preach and teach. You are being led by the Spirit of God, just as I do, to lead our lives on a level that is acceptable before God. So let me share with you the three things that are really important. I would suggest to you, first of all, that the Holy Spirit will guide you and it will guide me into receiving truth. Now, we know that the Bible was Holy Spirit inspired. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, for all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. So we know that the Holy Spirit guided the apostles, not only the apostles, but even the prophets in the Old Testament, and Moses, when he wrote the Decalogue, if you will, all of this is Holy Spirit inspired. For some reason or another, many in the church today believe that only the New Testament is actually Holy Spirit inspired. That's not true. Peter wrote in his epistle to the early church, he said, our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. Now he's talking Old Testament. So when we go back and read the Old Testament passages, you have to remember that these are not just things people pulled out of the air and opinions of men, but these are the words of God. And they were efficacious at the time that they were written, but God ushered in a new law. Now that doesn't circumvent the fact that those passages in the Old Testament, beginning with the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Malachi, were not inspired. They were inspired of God. But I want you to notice something, and I want you to turn to the book of John as a basis here for our study. In John, the 16th chapter and verse 12, Jesus said, and following verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, what he meant by that is that you're not ready to receive what I am going to tell you. You're just not there yet. It would be like maybe you had just, maybe you had children and you just taught your little boy, your little girl how to walk and maybe they're getting around. You know, you've taught them what no means. A lot of times that don't mean anything to them. But anyway, you teach them what no means and what yes means, and you teach them what hot is, you know, or whatever. There are just some things that you teach them. But when they are walking about, learning to walk, when they are perhaps, I don't know, how old's a kid when he walks? I mean, 12, 13? I'm talking about months, folks, not years. Yeah, But anyway, when they start walking, you obviously understand you don't talk to them about making their bed. You don't talk to them about taking the trash out or perhaps cleaning their room. And there again, even when they get 13 or 14 years old, that doesn't do a lot of good either. But at least you teach them. You try to impress upon them certain truths all along the way. Well, that's the way God has been with us. There are certain things that God teaches us that are elementary once we become Christians. And Peter said, again, you know, that we're like newborn babes that desire the sincere milk of the word. And Paul would write one time, he said, I could not write to you spiritually because you're carnally minded. And he says, for the time when you ought to be teachers of the word of God, you have need again that someone teach you, which be the very first principles of the doctrine of Christ. He says, let us lay these aside and go on to perfection or to maturity, and then I can share with you those meaty things of the gospel. So when Jesus says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now, what he was saying is that you're not ready to receive what I am going to tell you. So therefore, listen to the rest of it in verse 13. Howbeit, when he, that is the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. He says, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things that are to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now notice what Christ is saying. He says, I'm not prepared right now to share with you certain truths, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you to receive certain truth. And you know that to be true. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that Jesus spoke very little about heaven? Other than the fact to use parables and tell you that the kingdom of heaven, when he's talking about the church, but he spoke very little about heaven. But you don't know much about heaven until you get into the epistles. You don't know much about what the Bible says about heaven until you read from the pen of the Apostle John. All you read about it, perhaps, is basically what Christ says in the 14th chapter of the book of John, beginning at verse 6 when he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house, doesn't call it heaven, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. Doesn't tell us what that place is going to be like. He doesn't say a whole lot about the grandeur and the glory of that celestial city. But when you go over to the book of Revelation, they weren't ready to receive it. But when you go over to the book of Revelation and you read in chapter 20 through about through chapter 22, those three chapters, you read a lot about heaven. Jesus didn't talk a lot about heaven other than to say that men can go there when life is over here, had they accepted him. Jesus never did really talk a whole lot about child rearing. And you won't learn that until you go over to the epistles. In the Ephesian letter, chapter 5, talks about the husband-wife relationship. Jesus didn't say a whole lot about that other than the fact that there's one reason here to get a divorce and remarry again. According to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and also Matthew chapter 19, verse 5 and following, he didn't say a whole lot about the marriage relationship, how the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. But you find that in the epistles, when the early church is at that point where they can digest it and are ready to receive it. He didn't really say a whole lot about work and our responsibility to work, other than working in his vineyard. But when Paul wrote the epistle to the church at Thessalonica, he said, if a man won't work, neither should he eat. Well, you can see what I'm talking about and the point that I'm trying to make. And there's another thing you need to understand about all this. Nobody can understand the Word of God apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. And I told you that this is point number one here, that the Holy Spirit will guide you to receive truth. Now, listen to what I'm about to tell you. The things of God, the spiritual things, are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit of God has given us the word. But we must be in tune with the Spirit of God to understand. Let me give you an example of how this works. Somebody reads the Bible, and they might read a certain passage here, and they say, I don't understand a thing in the world. He's saying, I just don't under, you may say that about my sermons. I don't understand what he's saying. I don't understand that passage that he read there a moment ago. But you take someone who is a child of God, who has been reading and feeding on the Word of God, he says, hey, I see it clearly. I understand it. Because it is spiritually discerned. Jesus, you know why Jesus spoke in parables? You know why he spoke in parables? That his disciples could understand. Other people didn't grasp it. Other people outside the kingdom, people that weren't followers of Jesus, didn't understand it. He said, seeing, you see not. Hearing, you hear not. But those who were followers of Jesus understood it. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us to receive truth. Another example, when I get up here and I talk about various sins, when I talk about drunkenness, a lot of other people call it happy hour. When the Bible condemns drunkenness, and when it condemns homosexuality, when it condemns stealing, and when it condemns lying, the very thing that Ananias and Sapphira did here in Acts chapter 5, a lot of people say, I see nothing wrong with it if I can get by with it. I see nothing wrong with it. But when you read the Word of God and you spiritually discern what God says, then you understand that it is wrong. Many people read the Bible and they say, well, I just don't grasp it. I just can't understand it, because it is only spiritually discerned. And there are some things that we can receive at certain points along the way. You know, we have on our street down here on, it's up on Inwood, right before you get to Crescent Drive, a big transformer. And sometimes during a thunderstorm or lightning, you know, we'll hit that transformer and knock it out. We will be without lights all night, you know. And how many of you know what a transformer does? Anybody? You got a surge of electrical current that are flowing through these lines, these high lines out here, okay? And it's true. We've got a big transformer right out here at the corner. And what happens is all of that electricity comes into that transformer, and it reduces the amount of electricity that is coming to this building. Only the amount of electricity that we are able to receive and use and can handle. Why, if all of that electricity out there surging down that line suddenly hit our building, this thing would blow up. Why, we'd be on fire. Now, the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. Again, the Spirit imparts us unto us, spiritually discern certain things that we are ready to receive. Let me give you another point. And I know I'm maybe belaboring this just a little bit, but I want you to understand it. The Holy Spirit, secondly, will guide us not only to receive truth, but it will guide us to remember truth. To remember truth. You know, I'm so thankful for the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something. The time may well come when you may not be able to own a Bible. Now you say, well, that's facetious. No, there have been times in the past when people could not have a Bible within their possession, and the way our government's going, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And it would be well for you to remember it in your mind, to get it in your mind. Jesus, the authority of Jesus was supreme. And in the back over in the 14th chapter of the book of John, you will also read these words of Jesus. He said, these things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now listen to that. He said the Holy Spirit will not only guide you into additional truth, but the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that I have taught you. And he will. Jesus, as I've told you before, never ever wrote anything except in that sand that day in the book of John 8. Only time. He didn't write a book. A lot of books have been written about him. But the Holy Spirit who came after him guided the apostles, and they wrote down the words of Jesus. And they were not allowed supernaturally to forget anything. Everything that you find in the book we call the Bible, that is the New Testament, was given by God to the apostles through the Holy Spirit. And the epistles, and that's really what we call those letters, they're just simply doctrinal truth. He will tell you of things that are to come. That is, they are prophetic in nature. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a verse of scripture just pop into your mind all of a sudden? Maybe you were dealing with some issue, some decision or whatever, and all of a sudden it just popped into your mind. Just all of a sudden. You may say, hey, boy, isn't that amazing? That was luck. That was chance. Ever thought about it being the Holy Spirit of God? There's a third thing. Not only will the Holy Spirit guide me to receive truth, he will guide me to remember truth, and he will guide me to reproduce truth. Did you know that God gives us truth primarily not to learn? It's not to improve your intelligentsia. That's not what it's for. And I'm certainly not trying to do that tonight. I'm not trying to impress you with mine. I'm not trying to tell you, you know, to impress yourselves by doing this. God gave his truth primarily not for you to learn, but for you to live. And the Holy Spirit is not an independent contractor, but the leadership of the Holy Spirit is not just to lead you academically, but to get you where you need to be spiritually speaking. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I just don't believe in the Spirit of God leading me. Let me tell you why I believe in it. Paul says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And by the way, that means what it says. Sometimes when we don't feel the leading of God, it may be that we're listening too much to background noise. You ever been, and it gets, the older you get, the worse this gets. I mean, you've ever been driving in your automobile down the road and your wife trying to talk to you? And you've got the radio on, or, you know, I mean, the road noise, you know, all those rough roads around Palestine. Know what I'm talking about? And she's trying to talk to you, and you're trying to listen. You're saying, what? What'd you say? Now, most of you don't have problems with that. One of these days you will. But sometimes we're not listening to God. Now, I'm not saying he speaks to us audibly, but I am telling you, I believe that God does speak to our heart and to our mind. If you don't think that's true, and you don't think God is supernaturally intervening in the affairs and in the life of people, let me ask you a question. Why do people get up here and pray, God, please guide our minister to remember all that he is prepared to say? Now, if you don't believe that God guides us to remember what we had planned to say and what he wants us to say, why in the name of heaven are we praying for him to do that? I believe that the Holy Spirit does guide us to receive truth, to remember truth, and to reproduce truth. Let me tell you something that really is important here. If the only time that you walk with God is on Sunday, don't expect God to walk with you on Monday and to lead you and to guide you. Let me tell you something else. If you don't hear God speaking to your heart or to your mind, and this again, I'm not saying he does this audibly, but I think he does put it in our heart. I think he does speak to our hearts. And he does guide. How else would you do that? I mean, how else would he do that? If you think you've come up with a better way, I'd like to hear it. But I know one thing, that if we do not hear God speaking to our heart, in our mind, it may be that we're not obeying him. Because let me read a passage here found in Acts 5:32. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is given unto those who obey him. To those who obey him. It is true that the way to know the will of God in the unknown areas of your life is for you to obey God in the known areas of your life. And according to John 16 and verse 15, the Bible says that he will show it unto you. God gives us the word to know God and Jesus, not to know things. Now, I think there's an erroneous way sometimes that preachers or whoever, prognosticators, get up and try to impress people and talk about how God speaks and all this kind of stuff. Let me give you an example of that. These TV preachers that get up and say, God spoke to me this morning and told me there's a lady up in Illinois right now that has back problem. She's been healed right now. I don't think God does that. Or they tell someone out in the television audience, God is speaking to you right now. Send $1,000 today to God, but send it to my address. That's erroneous. And that's why people are so confused about the Holy Spirit of God, I think. How can you be guided by the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, I think you acknowledge his leadership. Just as you do God. In the book of Proverbs 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths. Ask for his leadership. In business deals, ask God to guide you. Your personal relationships and spiritual decisions that are often called upon for you to make. I'm going to tell you, I learned a long time ago, it is better to ask God to help you make a decision than it is for you to correct your mistake. Because some of those mistakes you make, you have to live with a lifetime and accept the leadership of God and Jesus and his Spirit. We ought to be like Samuel of old who said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Command, and I will obey. There shouldn't be anything real mystical about the Holy Spirit, because all that we've been given about the Spirit in the Bible is certainly information that we can digest and understand. You know, there's been so much confusion about the fact that, you have a lot of people today that teach that the Holy Spirit comes to you in some kind of baptismal measure, that after you have been overwhelmed or baptized in the Spirit, that enables you to speak in tongues and it enables you to give prophetic utterances about, for instance, the word of knowledge, things that are going on in Timbuktu that you know nothing about. God didn't say that belonged to you. He didn't say it belonged to me. He says, but when that which is perfect and that which is in part should be done away. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Nowhere did God ever make that promise to you that you'd be able to touch and heal the sick and raise them up. He didn't make that promise to you. You know, when you read the Bible, you have to look at to whom the promise is given, to whom the promise was made, who made the promise. Those that are the children of God are those who are led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes people are afraid of the Holy Spirit because of all the abuse that the Holy Spirit has taken through the years, and words that have been said and things that have been taught that are erroneous. But we need to hold on to truth. And when we do that, then you have nothing to fear about the Holy Spirit. Jesus came into the world. These people that say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit gave the writing of the Bible and his work is over. Well, that's not true. What happened when he wrote the Old Testament? Was his work over then? And he went into some kind of limbo and suspension until the word came for the New Testament? Or did Jesus just suddenly die out after he enacted his sacrifice on the cross? Is he no longer around? Sure he is. Is the Holy Spirit still around? Sure he is. And we need to believe that and not be afraid to accept it, folks. And I hope tonight that if you're a Christian, that you understand that more deeply. And I've tried to share it with you tonight from the basis of what the Bible really teaches about that. And that really is where we ought to be fundamentally, isn't it? I mean, in all things. It's not what I think about it or what I believe, but what the Word says. And when you understand what the Word says, you don't have to be afraid of it. If you're not a Christian tonight, I would be afraid not to accept the Spirit of God. Jesus said again, or Moses did in the writings of the Genesis letter, Genesis 6 and verse 3, that my spirit shall not always strive with man. I believe God gives us ample opportunity and time to become obedient to the faith. And when we reject it and when we turn away from it, I think God can withdraw his spirit from us. And I think he does. My spirit will not always strive with mankind. He may be striving with you tonight to get you to obey him. And the real issue is, will you do it? Will you give your life to him, to the Spirit's teaching, and obey him? While we stand and while we sing.
Oh, do not let the world depart and close.